today on Real Radio.
When Israel's surrounded and there's no hope and the enemy's coming, and God says, oh yeah, watch this. And he causes the enemies to see flaming chariots and angelic appearances in their eyes above the trees. And they go, oh my goodness, we're going to die. God, that's God stuff.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues a series called the Worldview Series, a series that encourages us to have an active, relevant, engaging, and culturally involved faith. In the message, Our Biblical Worldview and War, Pastor Jack explains that free nations today are fighting various forms of oppression, some of which have no borders, no flag, no uniforms, and no rules. So, is a nation morally obligated to protect and defend its citizens? Do we avenge and execute wrath on those who practice evil? Today, Pastor Jack warns us that the doctrine of appeasement has always failed. History shows us that only if you're strong as a nation will no other nation stand against you. We live in a hostile world where evil must be resisted and defeated continuously, and our nonviolent convictions can't stop this aggression. And now for today's lesson, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
You go to war because you have desires to expand your territories and conquer or occupy. These are the two reasons why nations or people go to war. One is a defense posture, and the other one is an advancing posture. You got that? One is on the defensive, one is on the offensive. One says, I'm going to take over the world. For example, which one of those did Adolf Hitler have? The second one. I'm going to take over the world. The Empire of Japan at the same time. We're going to take over the world. Think of that. That thinking does not come from a Judeo-Christian worldview. A Judeo-Christian biblical worldview is deter war, put it off as much as possible. But like George Washington announced, if my enemy, and Abraham Lincoln as well, if my enemy brings the war to me, then I must fight to defend my citizens. Did you know that's a godly thing? Did you know that's biblical? It's even mandated in Scripture. Isn't that amazing? He said, no, 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 watch, everybody, watch. I can't defend anybody. I can't do anything. Listen. Imagine right now, we just got word, flash, headlines, on the news, boom. A surprise enemy invasion just took place in Newport Beach. They're landing on the shore. And they're slaying people in the streets. What are you going to do? Think about it. This is real. What are you going to do? Think about it. You can't sit this one out. You are living and breathing. You can't sit it out. You got to have an answer. They're 30 miles away, and they, in fact, there was a map found, and the map was specifically had a circle around Chino Hills or your home or your life, wherever, and they're coming to get you. And by the way, now we're getting helicopter reports from the news programs, and there's dead people in the streets. Women are being raped. Children are being smashed against cars and automobiles. Men are being slain, and all that they once had is being taken captive by these invaders. Okay? What are you going to do? I'm not going to get involved. You know why you're not going to get involved? Because you think 30 miles is too far. That's why. That's the only reason why. Now they're in Yorba Linda. And they have a scorched earth policy. And from Yorba Linda to Newport Beach, it is all ablaze. What are you going to do? You're going to lay your neck down, right? You're going to lay your head down. You got babies? You have kids? Are you going to bring them out to your front lawn and you're going to lay them out and say, we're going to trust the Lord? How come David didn't take that approach? Think about it. Can you imagine taking that approach with Adolf Hitler? Do you know that today, the college kids who raised their hands in the sanctuary a moment ago, did you know what they're taught in school? They're taught the doctrine of appeasement. That is, your enemy, if you be nice to them, they won't hurt you. Doctrine of appeasement. Be nice to your enemy, and they won't hurt you. When they take you captive and take your cars and your kids and your life and your identity and put you in prison, they'll be nice to you. I just want you to know the doctrine of appeasement has never once yet ever succeeded in human history. Why? Because war is in the human heart. And even if you want to live a peaceable, beautiful, quiet life, don't we all, amen? There are people who want to kill. There was a maniac who wanted to kill people in a theater in Colorado. And you could have said, listen, let's sit down and talk. I'll get you a Starbucks. Nothing was going to change his mind. A nation goes to war to defend its citizens. And according to the Bible, Romans 13 for 1, verses 1 to 3, civic leaders are under mandate to protect their citizens. Nobody wants to sign up for war. But in a biblical worldview, is there not war, church? Is there not war happening right now? What are you going to do about it? These are serious issues. See, these are things that in a pretend world of theory, you can't handle. You can't cope with it. Because war is a reality. It's terrible, yes. And it will not be settled until Jesus comes back. President Ronald Reagan, after reading George Washington's writings, when Washington had commissioned West Point to be built, Ronald Reagan concluded that his first pillar of the national security doctrine for his administration would be, number one, peace through strength. I'll explain that in a moment. Number two, trust but verify. Number three, beware of evil in the modern world. That was Reagan's military doctrine. Peace through strength. The girls, you don't understand what I'm about to say. All the guys in this room get it. No one messes with someone bigger than they are. Guys know this. It's a weird thing, by the way, too. If guys take on another guy, if a guy gets in a fight with a guy, someone's going to win. But it's kind of funny because after they duke it out, they become best friends. This is guy stuff. Girls, you don't get this. But that's a guy thing. History teaches that if you're strong, nobody will mess with you. And if somebody is nuts enough to mess with you, you, in a very metered, controlled response, stop them. And this is exactly how democracies have thrived or came into existence in the world, that broke off from tyrannical regimes. It's very interesting. Did you know that our United States military is supported by our tax dollars? You say, yeah, I'm against that. Just understand something. Those ships and planes, submarines and weapons, if we have godly leaders, will only be used when diplomacy completely breaks down. A great deterrent to war is exhausting your diplomatic efforts. Have you guys ever heard, well, we've entered into diplomatic discussions, and then you've heard diplomatic discussions are breaking down. You always move in the direction of diplomatic discussions because that's a deterrent to war. But the Bible says that there's going to be wars and rumors of wars. It doesn't mean you go out and start one. It means that you're always on guard. You're on guard against the maniac that might come down your street, and you're on guard against the rogue terrorist group that might come into your country. We're losing sight of history, and we can learn a lot from it. 1 Timothy 5:8 says, if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Did you know that? In this house, in this room, in this church tonight, if you are a father, any fathers in here, raise your hands. Any fathers? You are under mandate by God's word to defend your children and your wife at all costs. Lay down your life if must. You have to. Are you going to, if a man comes in your house and says, I'm going to kill your kids, rape your wife, and then I'm going to shoot you when I'm done. So, well, okay, you go ahead and pray about this. You will be sinning because you're not providing for your home. Wow. If that's true for a home, isn't it true for a community? Do you guys remember some old timers in here? We were young at the time, Lisa and I. Do you guys remember Richard Ramirez? The Night Stalker running around killing people in L.A.? Do you remember that summer? None of us slept that summer. Remember that? I remember sleeping by our front door because he had gotten a house in Costa Mesa. The Night Stalker, Richard Ramirez. That summer we stayed awake. We had our guns. We were laying out there. I slept by the front door, man. People had pea shooters. They were painting them. They were painting their little toy guns black to make them look real, to be a deterrent. People bought dogs, all kinds of big dogs. And the whole state took a collective sigh when they, when I think it was South Central, the people of South Central caught him. And remember that? In fact, the police rescued him from them. It was awesome. You can watch it. I'm sure that's somewhere on the TV somewhere. When does a nation or a people go to war? When you're being attacked. Now, look, I got to tell you, in a modern age of warfare and modern age of communication, and I want you to think, if somebody had a bomb and they were going to come, and you know it, they were on their, they're on the internet, they emailed their friend and they said, I got a bomb, I'm going to catch this French, this Air France flight, I'm going to go from Frankfurt to LA and I'm going to blow up Hollywood. That will never happen. But, okay. In this modern age of technology, if somebody knew that data, where do you want to stop this guy? Come on, help me. Where? In France. Some of you, I'm being sarcastic right now. Some of you have been taught, well, you don't want to violate his French rights. And then when he lands, we'll give him all his rights so we don't violate his American rights. So, gosh, you know, I don't know. We have to think about this. Well, the plane lands in 3 hours. See, theoretical stuff doesn't work. The answer is exactly correct, France. You stop him there. You always stop your enemy on their soil, not on yours. It's too late on yours. But we're Christians. I totally understand that. And listen, we're Christians, and there's people out there that still want to kill us. And they want us dead. You say, well, when do I give up and when do I fight? Well, okay, we're moving to that. Someone's asked the question, but isn't war murder? Isn't war murder? That also comes from the modern university campus. It's murder! According to the Bible, God says it's not murder. That's the sixth commandment, by the way, thou shalt not murder. The sixth commandment is you shall not murder. You say, my Bible says kill. Then you need to get a new Bible. The word in Hebrew is murder. The publisher put the word kill in there, if that's the word kill in your Bible. My Bible says murder. The word in Hebrew is murder. And it means to dash in pieces. It means to seek out, to hunt down, and to slay or to destroy a life. It means to put to death as a manslayer. It means, or it's in association with the civil arena, not military. Soldiers who go to war and airmen who go to air, they're not murderers according to the Bible. They are in war. Some of you have soldiers and airmen and guardsmen and marines and sailors in your family. And they're going to come home and they don't even wear their uniforms anymore because people call them on the streets baby killers. And I find it amazing that those guys who are instruments, Romans 13, of God's wrath. Did you know that? Military are instruments of God's wrath, the Bible says in Romans 13. David said, Lord, give me skill in battle. Joshua, are you going to walk up to Joshua and say, hey, you're unbiblical. You're a murderer. It's amazing. Think. War, God uses to exercise his judgment often. Psalm 144:1, blessed be the Lord my rock who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle, my loving kindness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield and the one in whom I take refuge who subdues my people under me. Proverbs 24:17, do not rejoice when your enemy falls. That's a true, true spirit that you should have. Don't rejoice when your enemy falls, and do not let your heart be glad when he stumbles, lest the Lord see it, notice this, and displeases him, and he turn away his wrath from him. God doesn't delight in this, but because of sin, there's wars. Proverbs 25:21, if your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat. I'm going to test you on this in a second. And if he is thirsty, give him water to drink, for so you will heap coals of fire on his head, and the Lord will reward you. Coals of fire on his head is a good thing. That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing for him. Isn't it amazing? I challenge any of you, listen, this is remarkable. There used to be a saying post-World War II that if you ever have to be attacked by a nation, let it be America. Why? Because after we are at war with a country, we wind up building that country we're at war with. Just ask Japan and ask Germany. Where does that ethic come from? How is it that you can talk to soldiers or go online and watch this stuff or see documentaries on this, that when Hezbollah or Hamas or Islamic invaders attack Israel, that after Israel has subdued them, Israel feeds them, takes them, gives them an IV, if they need help, they go to surgery in an Israeli hospital, and they get repaired. Do you know we do that? Do you know that you can watch these clips of U.S. soldiers lifting up a Taliban guy that they shot and took him to the hospital? This happens over and over again. Where does that ethic come from? Did you know that England and those of the British Empire will do that? Did you know Israel will do that? Did you know the United States will do that? You know other nations don't do that? Why? You want to ask a forensic question. Why not? Because they have a Judeo-Christian value of human life, even if your enemy is against you. We believe he's to have water and food and be taken care of. We don't poke and prod and cut and slice and no. Number four, can a Christian go to war? This is an important thing because I almost got into some hot water. I maneuvered my way out of it. I was in Canada recently and there were a group of Mennonites who don't believe in any resistance whatsoever. And they actually believe if the enemy comes, you lay down and let them kill you. You hand them the keys to your car, your family, that's it. They really believe that. And I said something that made it clear I didn't believe in that. And I thought I was going to get beat up by some peaceful people for saying that. They said, no, a Christian can never go to war. The answer to this, of course, is in the Bible. From a biblical worldview, let's ask a question to answer a question. Did Abraham ever go to war? The answer is yes. Did Abraham know God? As I mentioned earlier, Joshua, he went to war. Did a man after God's own heart, David, did he ever go to war? Did Israel, God's nation, go to war? They're still at war. Have nations throughout human history gone to war? I'm going to freak you out with this one. Did God, according to the Bible, ever go to war? And is he going to go to war? The Bible says yes. How does he do that? I don't know, except that when there have been battles in Israel's history, and in, for example, 1967 and 73, where there are such miraculous events taking place on the battlefield, that God had to be there. When one tank destroys 100 Syrian tanks, one Jewish tank, Israeli tank. How does that happen? He was in a hole, and he went up, and he kept popping up like this, and he was being invaded from every side. This is documented. This is all on film. You can read about it. You can watch the videos of it. That guy, and the one guy in the tank, he'd pull up. He'd go like this. And then go over there. And the Syrians kept saying, there must be 50 tanks inside that hole. There was only one guy going like this. Oh my gosh, we're going to get killed. I'm serious. Go look it up. Watch it. Read it. It's amazing. God did that. How is it that Israel's under attack by the Egyptian Air Force. Israel knows they're going to be destroyed, so they wind up, they're going to fly down to Egypt to the air bases, not Cairo. They're not going to kill the people. They're going to go down to the air bases, and the Egyptians believe that it's such an easy victory, they're going to take time for tea. They break for tea. They're having tea. The pilots are having tea, and Israel blows up their runway, so they can't take their planes off. That's a God thing. That's God stuff. When Israel's surrounded and there's no hope and the enemy's coming and God says, oh yeah, watch this. And he causes the enemies to see flaming chariots and angelic appearances in their eyes above the trees. And they go, oh my goodness, we're going to die. God, that's God stuff. He goes to battle. There's ultimate, of course, when the Lord comes. But in Psalm 18:32, the Bible says, it is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer, and he sets me on high places. He teaches my hands to make war so that my arm can bend a bow of bronze. Listen, class, this is a test. Is it moral or immoral for, say, the United States to go to war to defend England against and France against Hitler's invasion? Moral or immoral? But it's war. Did you hear what you just said? Should Hitler be stopped? Why should he be stopped? He's evil. God established nations to excise war on evil empires. Can you handle that? Isn't this a fun class tonight? This is real. Most of the, we just hit some topics tonight, and we've gone deeper than a lot of classes can't go. They can't even go there. But this is real. Winston Churchill pleaded and begged that the United States would get involved in World War II. Was Winston Churchill moral or immoral? You better say moral if there's a Brit near you anywhere. He was moral. When Ronald Reagan said, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall against the evil empire of communism and its regime, was Ronald Reagan moral or immoral? Now, that's an amazing thing, because Ronald Reagan launched an era of warfare unlike any other time previously, because Ronald Reagan brought the Soviet Empire to destruction by a bluff. I happen to have been in Quantico, Virginia, and instructed by some Marines who are at the College of War, Institute of War. They study Reagan's doctrine on war. Did you know that? Did you know that Ronald, I'll give you a little bit of overtime here. Watch this. Ronald Reagan becomes president. He knows that Russia's got plans to expand. Ronald Reagan got Raytheon and Boeing and General Dynamics and Martin together, got all these companies together. And he said, I have an idea. I want to have this thing built in space. It will destroy a nuclear missile when it's launched in space. Doesn't hurt anybody if we blow it up. It'd be great. No matter what is launched, we'll blow it up in space. America and the freedom-loving world is safe, and our enemies will be embarrassed. They'll lose credibility and dry up. So I want this Star Wars initiative started. Star Wars. That's what it was called. And you know what they said? The Joint Chiefs of Staff and all these companies, they said, Mr. President, it'd take a gazillion billion dollars. We don't have it. And it will take probably 20 years to do it. And Reagan said, then go. He did. He said, go. And an entire generation of engineers went to work.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Our Biblical Worldview and War, Part 1. Pastor Jack thanks you for listening today and wants to encourage us to pray for our country, for a nation that is obedient to God is blessed in both life and liberty. Today's lesson was just one in our series called The Worldview Series. It's a series that has a look at worldview issues through a biblical lens. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. You know, if you're looking for a more active, a more relevant, a more engaging faith, check out the Worldview series. Now, today you can get the Worldview series USB MP3 available for your gift of any amount to reallifewithjackhibbs.org. It's a USB thumb drive that combines the entire Worldview series of sermons by Pastor Jack on MP3. Get yours today at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.